Hello and welcome to Arts Alive. My name is Bill DeYoung. We are here from the St. Pete Catalyst, keeping the arts alive and together and happening in St. Petersburg in the Tampa Bay area. I'm joined today by two of my favorite people. We've got Bob Devin Jones over here, the founder and artistic director of the Studio 620. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bill. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And right next to Bob is Ward Smith, who is the producing artistic director of Studio Grand Central and the Off-Center Players, which for purposes of expediency, we're just going to call Studio Grand Central for the rest of the day. Hey, Ward.
Anyway, hi. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bill.
Now, you guys, it's Smith and Jones, right? Assuming that's your real names.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to talk today about your venues, the studio at 620, and about Studio Grand Central. They both have the word studio in the title. Does that mean something specifically? They're both small venues. That's why
it's
we're
about
talking
to change,
about it.
Though, but sure.
It's about,
it's about to change?
Yes, it's another thing. Breaking news story here.
Well, why don't you tell us
down
now?
The road. Well, you want to talk about it now, we'll talk about it. It's and that's another thing, too, because studio, you see that, you know, which is something that just came out of what we're going to call the building when we got the place.
Right? Okay.
Studio 620, we saw that. It's when you look at it right now in space, when you Google it, studio, there are so many salon studios, there's hair studios, there's all different studios. So we're trying to, you know, for you, well, you just kind of brought that up for expedience sake. You know, the Studio Grand Central is the building. The Off Central Players is the 501c company that puts on the productions.
Right.
So we're toying around with the idea of making it if it's the Off Central Playhouse. So
wow, look at you. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm scared of you.
Therefore, if it's because that's what we do here.
Well, you both have something similar in that they're smaller venues. Ward, your place has 43 seats. I think you said shoehorning in, you can get maybe 50 in
right,
there.
Right.
Bob, how big is the Studio 620 performance space-wise? How many seats comfortably fit in
comfortably
there?
Comfortably about 100, 110.
Okay, so it's similarly small, and that's why I wanted the two of you here together to talk about the benefits and maybe the not-so-good things about having a small venue. Two of my favorite places in the city. Bob, I did want to start with you, though, and if I remember correctly, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You're from Los Angeles?
Yes.
And you started, were you an actor and maybe director before you came here?
Actor, director, and then eventually a writer. And I came here 25 years ago. I was sort of winding down with the acting career, I came to direct a play at American Stage.
What show was that? I remember you told me that story.
Was
it Jitney or something like that?
Oh, no. It was way before then. It was a play by August Strindberg, Miss Julie.
Oh, that's right. All right.
And I said it in the late Harlem Renaissance, and I called it Miss Julia.
With Miss Diane Carroll, of course, Miss Julia.
Making a reference to that.
Oh, yes. It was? Okay. I thought I was being cute there. So what happened? You came here and you just fell in love with the place? I like it here. I'm going to stay here.
I fell in love with a person. Yeah. Met on my second day here. Lisa Powers is the one who, or Lisa Tracomi.
Oh, sure.
It's the one who brought me out.
Brought you together.
And she invited me to breakfast my second day here at a place called Chataway.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Jamie happened to be riding by on his bicycle, and the rest was history.
Are you and Jamie still together? Is that
yes, of course.
I mean, how many years is it's 25 years?
25 years.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So the idea of I'm going to stay here. How do you get to I'm going to open a venue, an art gallery and venue? How does that come out of that?
Well, I've always expressed an idea and the desire to open a theater. I'm sure Ward will tell you something similar. Better. And but Jamie was the one who, Jim Howells, the one who went out and found the building, and Dave Ellis and myself started the studio at 620, sort of as a theater, sort of as an art gallery, sort of as a performance space, sort of as a art space, sort of as a, and then it just developed.
Now, had you done anything like that in L.A. and when you're other than just directing shows, as straight as a director or as an actor? Building or theater you were associated with?
No.
In LA.
I've worked with a lot of regional theaters around the country, but no, this is the first time that I ever put my hands in the concrete, as it were.
What did that building used to be back in the day?
Cartographer's shop. It was a map place. In 1941, it was built.
I don't know if there's a lot of use for that these days.
I don't think so.
Can you tell me what the arts scene in St. Petersburg was like 25 years ago? I was still in the middle of my exodus out of town for a while. I am a hometown boy, but I wasn't here then. What was it like?
Well, if you do a comparison, which they're usually odious, it was like night and day. It was mm-hmm. very nascent. There was American Stage, and there was the Florida Orchestra, and there was the, you know, there were venues around, but the streets really fairly rolled up come dusk. And but there were a lot of creative people here, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what has nurtured the studio.
And someone such as yourself, I've always had this idea that you can see potential in things. I think that's one of the things that makes you one of the very special people in this arts community. I can see where a lot of these people need a place to go and produce their work. That isn't, I don't even think the Palladium Theater was operating then.
No, it wasn't.
There probably wasn't much. And here we go. I got a small venue. I can make an art gallery out of it. I can make a performance space out of it. You know, you have dancers come in and workshop and do all. That was your thinking at the time. They need a place like this.
Yes, and we just said that our motto was the answer is always yes.
It still is, isn't it? I hear
it's
that
our mission.
Fun. Yeah.
It's now our mission. And so that will be the biggest thing that hopefully will continue when I retire.
Mm-hmm. Which we hope is not going to be for a while yet, Bob.
A year and a half.
Oh, is that, we got more news here? And
yes, I'm a harbinger of news, not to trump your news.
No, baby.
Wow. A year and a half. Do you want to go there? Do you want to talk about that?
I'll be emeritus, so there's that. But certainly on the day-to-day, 365, 24/7 and all that, mm-hmm. yes, I will be taking, and I'll certainly keep my office there at least for another year.
Yeah,
after I hand over the reins, hopefully to someone whom you know very well.
I hope it's Marcus, because Marcus is like the greatest.
He is.
Yeah.
He's beyond any superlative that I could say.
2024 we're talking about?
Yes.
But you're not leaving St. Petersburg. You'll still be around here.
Yeah, I love St. Petersburg.
For all of us to pester constantly.
Please.
Yes. Wow, you heard it here first, folks. Now that's two. We're gonna circle back to both of these things. I'm going back to the alleged Mr. Smith here. Are you a Bay Area guy originally, or were you sort of born somewhere else?
I was born in Iowa, like most, you know, true Floridians were. Born elsewhere.
Yeah. And I was conceived in Chicago.
Oh, you go. There here, it is. So, yeah. There's a whole misconception where I was, yeah. you know, conceived is that's a whole other story.
It's a different kind of misconception. Then, exactly. As they say, yeah.
So when my, and thanks, Bob. There you go. There was, in Iowa where I was born, and that's where my dad was working at the time. And then he got transferred to, you know, the television station in that same year. I was born in June. 1963, and on Labor Day, he was here in Tampa.
And, of course, we should tell everybody who doesn't already know that your father was Hugh Smith, the great broadcaster from WTVT Channel 13, the news director and pulse announcer, anchor. And
27 years.
For 27 years right. with Big 13. You know, I read that story about Big
Walter,
13.
Walter Cronkite's lead-in for 27 years.
27 so. Years.
So.
So you were
ratings like you've never seen before. And you'll never see again.
And you told me a story once how, you know, you'd be out to dinner with the family and people would come talk to your dad all the time
yeah.
because he was in their living rooms all yeah. the time. Yeah. Hey, Hugh, great job on that
right.
That commission stuff you're working on.
Right.
Or, yeah. So
say, who was that, Dad? I don't know.
You're an actor
right.
and a stand-up comic, right. which is another world. My hat's off to you for doing that. I mean. I'm way too self-conscious. I we have to talk about this sometime. I also saw you in with St. Pete Opera Company,
right?
In Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes, and I wasn't singing. They paid me not to sing.
So. Didn't you sing? You sing Brush Up Your Shakespeare.
Well, that was I could warble that. Brush Up Your Shakespeare. You could warble in character. That's
okay,
not.
So you're a warbler.
I'm not doing an aria. That's definitely nothing from, you know, Rigoletto or anything that
okay, so,
they paid me to sing. But it was fun yeah. to do that.
What I want to do, though, is bring us around to you started a venue. Now,
right.
It's Studio Grand Central, which won't be called that soon enough, folks. But we're going to call it that for the time being. Was Andy Matheny's acting
right.
studio, which has a little bit of a sort of a, it's not even a raked floor. It's more like, what do you call that? Seats go up.
The seats are theater style. They're on platforms. They're on risers.
And that's so the students could sort of do scene work,
right.
and be watched. So it's sort of it is a little theater.
It is.
It wasn't designed that way.
Well, it was. I guess when because I attended there in as an acting class on a couple occasions, and when I saw it, I saw how it was raised up when the seats were. It was kind of like the Heather over at Kathy Lachlan's place over in Tampa. The seats were just kind of really. It was kind of the idea.
Was the Heather that small as well?
Smaller.
Really? Because I know you did a lot of work over there.
Yeah, smaller still, maybe 24 seats, 25 seats. And we still wedged in. So, we did race, and we think we got 75 people in there when we did race. Anyway, it was that type of thing became available. I don't know, Bob, if you were always thought about having your own place, did you sit around dreaming, it'd be cool to have my own place one day? Did you ever?
Sort of, but I never, it was talk. Right. Theater talk.
Right. It'd be cool to do that over a couple of drinks.
Well, I don't drink.
Okay.
But so Jim, I guess, took me out of my word. And it's come down as lore that he was inventing Studio 620. We didn't call it that. We were initially going to call it Who's on First. And we thought you'd get a little cloyed on that. So we changed it to Studio at 620.
Who's on First? Wow, I'm learning so much.
That would be a great name for an improv troupe company.
Hey, you're right on there, First, too, aren't you, Wharton? Maybe you can steal that one.
There you go.
Or the
there
next place.
But so Jamie found the space, and Dave Ellis and myself said, okay, we'll do it. We called it a theater, but sometimes I go to your theater, and I've been there at least almost a dozen times.
Thank you.
And I think, it would be so delicious just to do theater. And I love Theater Off Central because it's so intimate. You're in the same room. It's the same breath that the actors are taking, you're taking with them. And so it's called small theater or little theater, but, size isn't everything.
No, it's not.
Well, you touched on a good point there, which is something that I wanted to bring up, that there's a lot to be said for a small venue, because there are some events, not just theater, but, musical things, perhaps, and you both have done those, that play better to smaller audiences, because as you say, you share breath, and I love that, what you just said. The other side of that coin is that the economics, and Ward, you and I were talking about this before we got started today. If you only have 50 seats or 150 seats, and you only sell 50 to 40 tickets, it's not as big of an economic, we have to factor this in, it's not as big of an economic loss as if, say, you had 800 seats.
Right, and you had to fill.
And so that takes, as you said, the headaches out of it. You also are able to program, and specifically program, things that don't belong in big halls. Right. Smaller shows. What do you like about that, Bob?
Well, I like everybody being in the room where it happens. I also like the intimacy. I like not hearing a voice projected electronically.
Yeah.
And there's a different intention from the artists if they are having to reach a back row of 100 seats to the back row of 800. Not to say one's better than the other, but I crave that immediacy and the intimacy of being in the same room. And also, we're being archived right now, and those early years, we were regularly getting 80 to 90 people. This was before we became savvy on the internet and all that sort of stuff. And so I think 50, 60, 70 people in a room is delicious.
Yeah. In those early years, you were drawing decent crowds.
Yes.
Doesn't that sort of speak to, people really do want this? They don't want to have to go to whatever was the Bayfront Center, whatever the hell.
Or drive to Tampa at that point.
Or drive to Tampa.
Yeah, we used to recreate in Tampa all the time. Now I rarely get over there except for on the weekends and such. But I think St. Pete was ripe for the art ecology was very nascent at the time, but it was there, and it just needed a little watering, a little prodding, a little seeding, and it's blossomed.
I'm going to hold that thought for a minute, because my hastily scribbled notes, that's the next question. So, you got it. He's got it in his hand right there, folks.
Hold on to it.
Ward, let me talk to you about the intimate nature of your place, 43 seats, squeezed in 50. Right. When I did my play, I think we played to 7 people one night, but it does happen.
My life is only two. Well,
Well, it was you and someone else, I suppose. Two is all you need.
You got this. You got a philosopher this, twice a pervert. That's how I say it.
I like. By the way, when I was there last and whatever I saw last time, I guess it was the day I was there talking with Becca. I noticed that you'd knocked the wall out and the art gallery's been opened up.
Yeah,
which makes it almost more like 620.
Right.
Still not as big.
No.
But it was like the art was more a part of the whole experience, which I thought was very cool. What do you like about the intimate nature of your theater?
Well, it's kind of what, you know, talk about being a catalyst. You know, when Bob was that, when you go to 620, right, very early on, you go, wow, this is a cool place. This is, if going back, if I ever had a place, you know, in the bar talk, whatever, it kind of like this. I don't need to, sure, a nice place like this would be great. You know, stage work would be great. You know, American stage would be great. But this little kind of, you know, warehouse kind of feel, this is where it feels like good stuff is happening. Into a couple productions and a couple, you know, gallery presentations, and going, wow, he does more than this here. That would be, if I ever had a chance to do something, you know, it'd be like this. I wouldn't want to pigeonhole myself and just do one thing.
Yeah.
And didn't pay it any attention, you know. And then it was like during the pandemic, you know, my sister's been, we've been talking about it for several years. You know, she'll find a place. I'm tired of driving over to Tampa to the Heather and see. And so you do stuff. There's got to be something over in St. Pete. I'm saying,
right.
Well, Bob's got his place. And if we can't find a place like that, you know, then if we do, then we have to outfit it, expense with lights and sound and yada, yada, yada. And
I wanted to stop here, though. It's, you just finished your first season.
Right.
So it's about a year old.
2 years, actually. We finished, we did 20 productions, actually, actually 20 productions in 12 months.
What's changed about it? You were talking about outlay for lights and that sort of thing. I mean, this is a question I ask people a lot when there's an evolution being discussed. What have you learned? You know, what did you have to change from the way it started?
Well, it helps that I've got a lot of support going into it. I mean, I've got the support of my sister, mm-hmm. who we've got straight up, we've got reserves to where we don't have to worry about having to do a bake sale to get rights. For a piece, you know, you don't have to do a car wash to build sets, to raise the money to build the sets, you know, I mean, we're beyond that, thank God, but we're hanging on by a thread. It's not that it's beneath us. We're able to produce the show, put up and hire people and move forward without, you know, realizing we're taking a loss. You know, hell yeah, we're taking them.
You're a nonprofit, yes?
Yes, we are.
Yes, you're both nonprofit.
But whatever profit you do make, you want to have it, you want to self-finance and put it into your next.
And you've done that.
Yes, we are. We're trying to. If we make $2, that's a profit.
Now, if I could say, as someone who's been there as many times as Bob has, probably not quite as many, but maybe, I can see it looks and feels better than it did in the beginning. You know, and maybe only marginal, maybe just a slightly noticeable thing. But I can see that it's changed. When I saw a number, the one that you and Anthony did, you know, that's that Michael Horn, that was very cool.
Did the sets for that.
You know, and I can even see that at 620 over time, you can just tell that things are changing for the better all the time. You know, the first, I moved back to St. Petersburg in 2014. And the first thing I ever saw at 620 was that baseball play.
Oh, Take Me Out?
Yeah. With the, like the shower room scene. That's what I remember.
We got two marriages out of that production.
Really?
Two.
That it was, and I thought, wow. And I was struck by how cool it was to be, and you know, I'm not just blowing air here, guys, to be right there where it was happening.
Right.
And because I was sort of used to, you know, theater, sitting in row six with the stage that far off the ground. And I thought, and I think that was new to me.
Right.
Like, how, look at this.
It was slightly uncomfortable being that close, being that.
With that show, maybe a little bit.
Because okay.
I'm a straight guy. But, you know.
I am too.
Well, yeah. Well, and look, anyway, it was a wonderful show. And I've seen so much, mostly music there. I go to see
the
music. Anyway. This is strictly quickly derailing, folks. But we're not using the editor. We're going all the way straight through. what I like too, and I wanted to say this too, is you have Alex Jones as the choreographer in residence, I think is his title.
Dancer in residence.
A dancer. And Alex and Project Alchemy do absolutely amazing work. And that's the kind of stuff, if I'm not wrong, that you don't see at the Palladium or other sort of, you know, larger venues. You have to go to a place like 620 to see that. I don't know if he does that kind of choreography and performance at USF.
He does a variety of things, but his last in-residence performance had him using the outside, the Ellis Gallery, the upstairs offices as part of the performance.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's, but again, these are all delicious ideas that I think spring not only for the people who happen to come through the doors of 620, but the thing that's special about St. Petersburg, and not necessarily Tampa Bay, but it might be, every city is unique, and some cities get to be special, and St. Pete is special, and it's the dirt.
It is. It's the dirt. It's the air. You know, it's the air. I've mentioned this before, and Ward can verify this because he was around, that in, say, the 1960s and the 70s, Central Avenue was tumbleweeds. Yep. Tumbleweeds and crickets, you know.
Really? Even in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the 70s.
Even the 80s.
I do a lot of research into old newspaper ads with the work that I do and stuff. In the 70s, I don't know if you remember this, all the movie theaters were X-rated theaters. I mean, it was Times Square down there. It was awful. Yeah. You know.
I know that American Stage was in X-rated theater.
Was
right, right? Well, they were showing them at the State too.
Oh, the State, yeah, the Cameo, and it went on and on.
So you would pass by these theaters.
Well, I was a young boy.
Well, you'd pass by in the back seat of your parents' car and right. Don't look at that Ward, or right. Don't look at that Billy. You know, that kind of thing. So that change is beautiful, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is what I wanted to close with today, was to talk with you both about St. Petersburg. Ward, I'm going to start with you since Bob was just talking. One of the things I want to do with this podcast is discuss everyone's ideas for moving forward in St. Petersburg. Give me a sort of a state of the arts, if you will. Mm-hmm. I think somebody's used that already, but we'll steal it. Mm-hmm. State of the arts today, and what you'd like to see happen, maybe in the coming year.
Well, for little theaters like myself, I mean, it's letting people know we exist, letting the Bay Area talent, St. Petersburg talent, know that we exist in as a place for them to develop and to start, you know, and work out, maybe get their first gig, the first couple working out between. Maybe they get the 620s the next gig, or they get over to one of the other cities, get American Stage. It's a training ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see, you know, our place grow in that regard as a, I don't call it a feeder, or it's like, I don't want to call us a minor team, like a farm team system, but in a sense where it's a small little place where great work can get done. And it's a little microcosm, I think, of what St. Petersburg can offer that's, a lot of unsung artists that are out there able to collaborate in a place and get their work done and share it.
And it makes us all better. I think it makes the entire scene better to have different combinations of things. You know, everywhere I turn, there are tribute bands, which I refuse to talk about. But there's a part of the audience that's a great thing for right. them. You know, there are those big, blowsy ballet shows at the Mahaffey for a certain part of the population. That's great. There's big concerts at the big venues in Tampa. It's great. The Palladium does what it does. You do what you do theatrically, which is, and you've been doing some music too. The studio has a much more broad palette as a small venue. Let me talk to you, Bob, about what you'd like to see happen in last year and a half in the top chair.
I would like to see, well, like one of the most delicious shows I saw last year was Becca McCoy's show mm-hmm. at Studio Off Central. It was exquisite, and nothing about it was farm team or feeder. That show could have been anywhere. She did a sort of picaresque journal of mm-hmm. her travels,
yeah.
But it was produced beautifully, was directed flawlessly, and that success at Ward's place is a success for the community, which then I'm a part of. So I naturally dine on that success. I'm inlufendated. That's a word.
Is that a word? It has nothing to do with the Luftwaffe.
Look up inlufendated.
Yeah, somebody look that up.
It was a word that was in a play from the Mississippi Delta.
That's what I love about Bob. He never forgets anything.
Elucidated.
Elucidated. But I was. And I was, one, so glad I saw it. Two, so glad I saw it. Three, so glad I saw it. So I think small spaces are home spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're being at home, getting this well-produced, well-developed art experience. And the thing about smaller spaces, you can then include somebody. I call Becca McCoy a woman of the theater. She is,
you know, sure.
She, you know, it's like seeing Dame Judith Anderson. But on the other hand, you also get to see her in the town square. Or you get to see her. So I was delighted that I went to that show. I think the final performance.
Yes, thank you.
But there's no waiting around because there's an embarrassment of riches all throughout St. Petersburg. I went to the Coastal, the place that used to be the Lumastream Lighting.
Coastal right on the corner. Coastal yeah. Creative.
Coastal Creative. Ugh.
Yeah.
I paid $25 for a fashion show, and it was terrific. So there is one more theater along First Avenue South, mm-hmm. and then we have a theater district. You know, we got
the Mar.
The Mar. We have you.
My place.
And then Side Splitters,
Spitfire.
Spitfire.
And then yeah. Opera Grand Central got a space. Bob's Place.
Theater District. Wow, let's start a movement here. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I say, look at us. We've grown.
Yeah. You know, and is there a danger that, you know, everybody's worried about all the construction and the development that's going on and this ridiculous influx of people? Is there a danger that this is all going to just get swept aside and we're going to become just another corporate town, that all these things will get, you know, your buildings could get bought out from under you by people with much deeper pockets?
Not but, mine, thank God. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't own our buildings. It's owned by an LLC, which we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
My partner, Jamie, and myself and his family. But mm-hmm. No, I say, you know, if you're from the 60s, there used to be a phrase, burn, baby, burn. It was a militant phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought that was a Tramp song in the 70s. No, I'm
that's what it is.
I made Bob laugh.
I was born in 63, so yes, it was a Tramp song to me. I mean, was
Disco Inferno.
Where was
Disco
I in 68?
Yeah,
you
know,
but I
was
think,
in kindergarten in 68. So,
but I think, you know, the Renaissance in Florence was 300 years. We're in our second decade of the Renaissance here in St. Petersburg, and it seems no sign of abating. Not only are there great art institutions, there are great artists. And I think that's why bring in the coming of the roads and the buildings. You don't want it to be like the Shed in New York where you get bought up and then you become this huge thing. But I think there's a good map of the territory of smallest, sometimes if not better, as delicious.
And essential, I think, is what you're saying, too, that we have to live side by side.
Yeah, so I don't mind the big buildings.
No, I don't either. I mean, I just look at it as that's a potential audience members are going in there. There are these big, all these dwellings that are being put on between, you know, 620 and my place. There's, well, how many apartments?
Yeah, and you know, out of all, squeeze them together, Ward, you can get 43 people out of all those places.
They can get 700 people in that block. I can get
but bored. How have you developed your audience? By offering delicious stuff, and somebody tells somebody else. And
I'd be interested to talk to you in those early days when you guys didn't have the internet. I mean, it was just all pure word of mouth in your early, probably the first 10 years, maybe?
Yeah, before maybe not 10 years, but, you know, at our groundbreaking, we had close to 100 people there. Hmm. And we certainly didn't do it by internet. Was there the internet in 2004?
A little. Yeah. Not like there is now. Yeah, there is.
Benji, our producer, is nodding his head, and he knows about such things. It's time for us to wrap this up, but I want to close it. And Bob, thank you for, I guess you've announced that you're going to be retiring in 2024?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll announce this on the podcast. I guess that's you know, all the best to you. We're going to miss you. Well, you're not going anywhere.
I'm not going
anywhere.
Emeritus status, which means he'll be doing a lot more of less.
Well, okay. Maybe he'll do a voice in radio theater project now.
Heavily
okay?
into leisure?
No.
I'm sure.
Leisure time? What's that? Wart Smith, Studio Grand Central is changing its name when and to what?
Hopefully, by the time our first show goes up in April 9th, which is This Is Our Youth, we should have this rebranding taken care of and then try to make it, you know, the Off Central something. The Off Central venue, the Off Central theater, the Off Central home of the Off Central players.
Okay. The Off Central cow pasture. Whatever works. It is,
right.
Whatever works. Wart Smith, Bob Devin Jones, absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me on Arts
Thank
Alive
you for
today.
Us, Bill.
We are keeping arts alive and together here in St. Petersburg. I'm Bill DeYoung, and we'll see you next time.